who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As most of you know, one of my priorities and challenges for this church this year is to becoming this for us to become a powerfully praying church. And so starting today, I will be preaching a series of sermons on prayer. The title of this sermon this morning is Teach Us to Pray, the Right Motive. One of the most important Christian disciplines, and sadly, one of the most neglected, is prayer. Think for a moment. How much time do we truly dedicate to prayer on any given day? What about during our times of worship? How central is prayer to that experience? Are we genuinely serious about prayer here at First Baptist Church, or do we just like to talk about prayer without fully committing to it? See, prayer isn't just an activity. Prayer is a sacred privilege and one of the greatest acts a Christian can undertake. Amen? Amen. I can't start from the beginning if y'all are going to be that anemic. Amen?
Amen?
There we go. Through prayer, we step into the presence of Almighty God. Taking to Him, whether in the quiet thoughts of our hearts and minds or the spoken words of our lips, it's how we fellowship with the Creator of the universe. And fellowship is what God desires most from us. You see, it's not about ritual, it's about relationship. The God who spoke all of creation into being longs to hear the voices of His children. And in prayer, we not only bring our needs before Him, but we also draw near to His heart, align our will with His, and experience the depth of His love and wisdom. And so if we are serious about prayer, it will show in our lives, our worship, and our community. So I'll ask again, are we devoted to prayer, or are we just content to talk about it? See, in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, God emphasizes the importance of knowing Him. And it says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me." So if we truly want to know and believe God, prayer must be the center of our daily lives. Amen?
Amen?
It's essential that we pray. Not just occasionally, but often. Sharing our hearts with God throughout the day. And church, I want you to consider this morning. If Jesus Himself, the perfect and sinless God, found it necessary to pray while ministering on the earth, then how much more important is it for us to pray? See, His example is not just an inspiration, it is a call to action. Jesus prayed at His baptism. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while He prayed, the heaven was opened." Even at the start of Christ's ministry, Jesus turned to prayer, and in response, heaven itself opened. And so this moment reminds us that prayer is the key to unlocking divine blessing and guidance. Jesus prayed before he chose the 12. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountains to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So before making one of the most important and pivotal decisions in his ministry, Jesus sought his Father's wisdom through extended prayer. And if Jesus depended on prayer for direction, how much more should we? Jesus prayed at the Transfiguration. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 and 29. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. Throughout the Gospels, we find countless examples of Jesus praying. Sometimes early in the morning, other times late at night, and often in solitude. It was through his prayer life that the disciples understood the immense power and necessity of prayer. In fact, the only thing recorded in the Gospels that the disciples explicitly asked Jesus to teach them was to teach them how to pray. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying at a certain time, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.'" See, these disciples, they saw the intimate relationship that Jesus had with his Father. And they realized that prayer was the source of his strength, his wisdom, and his power. And so they longed to learn the secret for themselves. So if Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, had to rely on prayer during his earthly ministry, then how much more do we who are weak, imperfect, and prone to error need to turn to prayer? You see, prayer is not just an option. Prayer is a necessity. It is the provision for every need and the solution for every problem. Amen? It connects us to God's power, it aligns us with God's will, and it equips us to fulfill our purposes as His witnesses. Do you believe that this morning? But if not, I hope you do by the end. So if we genuinely desire to learn how to pray, then we must first grasp this foundational truth. Prayer begins with the right motive. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." See, the focus of Christ here in this passage is not whether we pray, but how we pray. For you see, Jesus assumes the believer will pray and that they pray often. But the way we approach prayer reveals the motives of our hearts. It is entirely possible to pray with the wrong motives or in a way that misses the essence of true communion with God. Some prayers never reach God because they are offered in self-serving reasons or lack sincerity. It is possible to pray and only speak to yourself. It is possible for our prayers never to go higher than the ceiling. And so for this reason, Jesus carefully outlines the right and wrong motives for prayer. Believers are expected to pray because prayer is God's ordained means of fellowship and action in our lives. Sharing and talking together are the way that all people communicate, fellowship, and commune together. And communication is essential in all relationships, including our relationship with God. Amen? Amen. Prayer is how we share our hearts with Him. And God wants to connect deeply with each and every one of us. But sadly, many people neglect this opportunity. They treat prayer as an afterthought rather than a lifeline. And so if we long to experience the fullness of God's blessings in our lives and in our ministry, prayer must be prioritized not as a superficial act, but as a heartfelt intercession to God. So now let us examine the wrong motive: praying to be seen by others. But before we explore the issue of wrong motives, we have to consider two preliminary truths. First, loving to pray does not necessarily indicate a genuine relationship with God. And second, a true relationship with God always leads to prayer. Amen? See, when somebody truly knows God as their loving Father, prayer becomes as natural as a child speaking to a beloved parent. And such individuals, they pray consistently, not just in public, but in private, where the relationship with God then deepens. Conversely, those who pray primarily in public while neglecting their private prayer life need to examine the sincerity of their faith. Jesus warns that public prayer motivated by a desire for recognition is hypocritical. See, the hypocrite always loves to pray publicly in the church, on the street corners, or anywhere that is visible. And while praying in public is not inherently wrong, Jesus emphasizes that some use public prayer as a stage for self-promotion. So let us examine five key lessons here. Public prayer without private devotion is hollow. See, some excel in public prayer but lack a consistent private prayer life. And Jesus labels those people as hypocrites. Prayer should occur in both private and public settings. However, those who only pray publicly before meals, in family gatherings, or church services, they miss the spiritual depth that our private prayer life offers. Our public prayer should represent the group and not personal needs. Those who neglect private prayer often misuse public prayer for self-focused pretensions, revealing an image, but their motivations are flawed. While some religious individuals seldom pray, even they can learn discipline from the hypocrite, though not their insincerity. And the posture of our prayer matters. Standing to pray is biblically acceptable. We see this in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But the picture that we see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 is that of pride, arrogance, and self-confidence. And then in contrast, we see kneeling as a picture of humility. It's a picture of reverence and dependence upon God. In Luke chapter 22, verse 41, and he, Jesus, was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. See, the individual who prays in public and only in public does so for one reason. Not because they love to pray, but because they love the recognition. They want that pat on the back. What a wonderful prayer, Brother Bob. See, a person who prays publicly but seldom in private fools himself. Jesus says real prayer, prayer to the Father, matters nothing to that person. They pray only for recognition and to be heard from by men. And obviously, there is no prohibition for public prayer. However, there is a danger in public prayer, and that's having your pride stroked. It's so easy to be praying publicly and have self-centered thoughts run across one's mind. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 and 8, Jesus has this to say. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The individual who prays only in public receives their reward, and that is public recognition. And so we must consider three key truths about this kind of individual. First, they experience feelings of satisfaction and confidence about their spiritual state and their religious piety. Public recognition boosts their self-image and gives them a sense of assurance about their standing with God. However, this is a false self-image. Their confidence is based on human approval rather than a genuine connection with God. And second, they ultimately cheat themselves out of something far greater. By prioritizing public recognition over sincere, private communion with God, they miss out on the most intimate presence of the Creator and the greatest future in the universe. They risk forfeiting the chance to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And they put themselves at risk of losing their souls. Third, they receive exactly what they deserve, and that's public recognition. If they place little value on personal fellowship with God, they are left with nothing more than fleeting human praise. And there is flaw in human recognition. It's because it's temporary. Man's esteem is short-lived, quickly fading as people move on to other things. It becomes routine. Even the most remarkable abilities eventually lose their novelty, becoming expected and taken for granted. It's powerless. Human praise cannot address the spiritual need or provide eternal significance. And it's limited to worldly matters and cannot answer prayer or transform the heart. And so human recognition is meaningless in the face of eternity. Human judgment holds no weight compared to God's. And no one is greater than another in God's eyes. And praise God for that. We all share the same need for His acceptance and His recognition. In light of judgment and eternity, the esteem of man is ultimately meaningless. The worth lies in turning to God in prayer, seeking His approval rather than the fleeting praise of people. Amen?
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 reminds us, "Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away." But now let us examine the right motive. And that's praying to be heard by God. Church, you see, the right motive for prayer is praying to be heard by God. And so there are three things that we need to examine in this point. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus emphasizes the importance of private prayer. He states, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So the first thing we must examine is the willingness to prioritize prayer. Jesus says, "When you pray," not "if you pray." This indicates that prayer is an expected part of the believer's life. Church, do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
However, too many believers are preoccupied with worldly concerns, neglecting spiritual necessity of consistent prayer. For you see, there must be a will to pray. Amen? The believer must take time and get alone and pray. Too few ever take time to pray. And even fewer spend more than a few minutes a day in prayer. We get too wrapped up in the world and its day-to-day affairs. And some of that is necessary, but how much more necessary is prayer? The second thing we must examine is the importance of a private space. A designated place for prayer helps minimize distractions and fosters focused communion with God. See, prayer is a secret fellowship with God. And when we pray, we need to remove all distractions. That means we have to turn off the TV. We have to turn off our phones. If you have a smartwatch, take it off. Close the door behind you and get alone with God. Don't let anything else creep in. See, Jesus tells us that a person who is genuine about prayer prays to be heard by God and not by men. So the place where we choose for prayer then becomes our private closet. And it should allow us to do three things. And the first is be unobserved. Get out of everyone's sight. Be undisturbed. Avoid interruptions and disturbances. And the third thing our prayer closet allows is for us to be unheard. Concentrate and meditate to allow God the freedom to work in your heart as He wishes. So the third thing we need to examine about the right motive is a personal relationship with God, which is a father-son, father-daughter relationship, that is essential to the believer. Genuine prayer stems from an intimate father-child relationship. Amen? God is our Father. We can cry out, Abba, which means Daddy. God is available as fathers are available to their children here on earth. We are to go to Him, pray, share, commune, and let Him shower us with His care and protection and meet our every need. The Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. The reason the believer prays in their private closet is because God is in secret. God is in secret, therefore a believer can only meet with Him in secret. Even in the midst of a worshiping crowd, a person must still concentrate and focus their attention on God who is unseen. Amen? How many mornings have we been in our worship service and our focus isn't directed to God? We're worried about that pot roast that's cooking at home. We're worried about beating the Lutherans to the pizza ranch or whatever's open on Sunday afternoon. But we're not in the moment. Our focus isn't on God. That is why our prayer life needs to be in that prayer closet. To meet with God in that secret place. See, there must be a secret heart-to-heart meeting and communion if a person wishes to pray and truly share with God. Because God is in secret, He is found in secret. And He's interested not in show, but in substance. Show is before men. But substance is found in that secret, quiet, and meditative place. Spiritual show takes place before people, but spiritual substances and or qualities that really matter take place in that secret, quiet place. The believer pours out their heart and receives their greatest encouragement and strength in the secret place of the Most High, not in public places before men. Today, many pray on the run and very few in secret. So ask yourself these questions. Why do so few have a quiet time, a daily worship and devotional time? Why do so few keep their daily appointment with God? Can all of us here today honestly say that we are faithful to set aside time for God each day? This morning, if you realize that you're neglecting your alone time with God, it's not too late to begin. Amen? You can start making those necessary changes today. For you see, the lack of a private personal prayer is one of the most difficult things in the world to understand in the light of who God is. And it's so difficult to understand why we don't have our private prayer times in light of what we suffer and what we face each and every day. Look at what's going on in the world today. Part of California is burning to the ground. There are other fires across the world. There's been earthquakes in Japan, and the list of natural disasters keep growing and growing each and every day. The earth is groaning. The day of the Lord is ever fast approaching. And we neglect our prayer lives. Too many of us say we don't have the time, and so we simply don't take the time. But in all honesty, it takes only a little effort to get up earlier in the morning if you really are pressed for time. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we see Jesus set the example for all believers. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. If you're struggling to keep your private prayer time, just get up earlier. Set your alarm 30 minutes earlier and focus on prayer. All you have to do is rearrange your schedule to allow for a quiet time, as you would arrange any other thing for something important. We'll move heaven and earth in our schedule to attend a party we want to go to, but we'll neglect to set aside time for prayer. Amen? Too many Christians fail to make prayer a priority, and so they are without excuse. Many believers are faithful in meeting with God daily. It's simply just a matter of discipline and priority. Most have the time, and yet they simply just don't take the time to pray and fellowship with God. These people, they simply neglect getting along with God consistently. And for some, they simply haven't been taught the importance and benefit of quiet time with God each and every day. And this is a justified accusation against Christian parents, preachers, and Sunday school teachers. Amen? But after this morning, there should be none here that can use this excuse or make that accusation. Amen? See, so few have practiced and stressed what they've always heard or been taught about the importance of prayer. The silence of believers and their failure to reach this world in sound doctrine is simply unbelievable. Especially after 2,000 years. And as I said, the signs of the time are telling us that the day of the Lord is ever faster approaching. So how dare we not spend time in prayer? We're so focused on what happens in these four walls that we've missed what happens outside. Church, it starts with prayer. If we truly want to fulfill our mission of helping people find and follow Jesus, it starts with prayer. And we can't simply be satisfied talking about prayer. We have to be intentional about what we're praying for. Praying for this church. Praying for the community around you. Pray that God will show you how He sees people. Allow God to show you what His will is for your life, what He has called you to do, because He has called each and every one of us to do something, but if you don't spend time in fellowship with God, you will never know what that is. It is time for us to be uncomfortable with being comfortable. It starts with prayer. Let it start today. Let us all make the commitment. Lord, I will make my time with You. I don't know how people go through the day without a prayer life. How do you endure the heartbreak and the trials and tribulations if you haven't gone to the Father? I can't do it. I simply can't do it. Church, there is no better area to learn discipline and consistency than in a daily prayer life. And you simply just need to start and do it. But when you miss a day, I don't want you to feel discouraged. Forget about that yesterday where you failed. But reach forth into the next day and recommit yourself. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." What a wonderful attitude. Eventually, consistency and discipline will be learned, and the person's soul will be fed with an unsearchable riches of Christ. So let's look at the rewards of genuine prayer. The reward of the genuine prayer warrior is open blessings. The praying believer will be rewarded in two very special ways. First, the believer will be rewarded with God's presence and strength. See, a life rooted in prayer is marked by God's unmistakable presence. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 state, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares about you." Hallelujah! God cares about each and every one of us. Amen? Amen? He said, "Cast all your cares upon Him." God will carry our burdens. We have to give those to God and stop picking them back up. See, God's presence is remarkable and unmistakable. There is a difference between a person who walks in God's presence and the person who only walks in the way of this world. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32 state, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." God rewards the praying believer with His presence and blessings. The believer's needs, material and spiritual, are met day by day. And the second reward that we get from our prayer lives is answered prayers. Church, it may take you praying for 15 years before God answers a prayer. Amen? But I promise you, God will answer your prayers if you ask. See, God responds to the prayers of His children in ways that surpass human understanding. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. The answers to prayer are clearly seen by a thinking and honest observer. God has promised to answer the true prayer of the genuine believer. So God takes care of the genuine believer with a very special care. Sometimes the answer to prayer is seen in renewed strength. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Sometimes the answer is seen in the provision of some necessity. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Sometimes the answer is seen in the conquest of some great temptation or trial. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And sometimes the answer to prayer is seen in a peace that passes all human understanding. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then sometimes the answer to prayer is seen in the soundness of mind that is uncomprehensible. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Church, let me finish on this call to action this morning. Ask yourself, is prayer fundamental to your life or is it supplemental? Prayer is the cornerstone to a genuine relationship with God. And every relationship here on earth and in heaven requires constant communication. Amen?
Amen.
If your private prayer life has been lacking, it is not too late to begin again. Start today by making prayer a daily priority. Do whatever it takes, rearrange your schedule, discipline yourself, but seek the unsearchable riches of Christ. And as Jesus models for us in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, rise early, find solitude, and pray. Whether you begin small or aim for deeper consistency, God honors the effort of a heart seeking Him. And the reward for a life of prayer is immeasurable. God's presence, His peace, and His provision now, and eternal blessings yet to come in His kingdom. This morning, remember that prayer is not about impressing others, but it's about communing with our Heavenly Father. Find your secret place. Meet with Him and experience the life-transforming power of genuine prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, I ask that you search our hearts and reveal to us the motivation for why we pray. May we be honest about our prayer lives, about our communication with you. Let us be a church that strives to pray with the right motive. Because God, we know that everything that we desire begins with prayer. And we as your children, we know, and after today we should know, that you hear our genuine heartfelt prayers. Father, continue to work in us and through us. Help us become strengthened by all that we do in our prayer lives. Let us become more intentional about your kingdom through our prayer lives. Let us be more intentional about this church through our prayer lives. Father, I lift all this up in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning at the close of our service, I offer